My name's Jeff Davenport. I'm on the teaching team here at Restoration. Yeah, I'm glad all of you are here. Let's pray. All right, let's pray. Lord, I ask that this time would be useful to you, to bless us, to grow us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it's a little cliche, but I'd like to start the teaching with a clip from an 80-year-old silent movie. So with no further ado, here we go. So that's from the 1935 movie by Charlie Chaplin. That movie's called Modern Times. And he made that movie because he noticed a trend at that time, and it was around the industrialization of the world and of America, and what it was causing people to do. And when we got fired up for this anxiety series, I couldn't help but think of that clip from an 80-year-old movie and not help but think, that's me today. That's my modern time. And no, I don't work on a factory floor tightening whatever those things are. But my life, and maybe your life, feels consumed with doing the thing and doing the thing and doing the doing thing, doing the thing, doing the doing, and constantly trying to keep up with the things that need to be done. Anybody amen on that? Yeah, all right, okay. So we're going to be talking about anxiety, and I'm going to be talking about it in some extreme levels. And honestly, I'm going to be talking about myself a little bit, and it's ripped from my headlines, let me just say that. And if you hear in me, gosh, that's a really extreme level of that, that's okay. And maybe you're somewhere over here, or maybe you don't have any anxiety right now, that's fine. But I hope you might hear something today that will either help you in the future, when maybe anxiety comes a-knocking, or maybe in how you help other people. In 2019, I think we can agree that our world has gotten better. Medicine has gotten better, right? Like, in the old days, they would cut their hand and die because there was some infection. Well, now we don't really die from a cut hand. Or, the standard of living is dramatically higher than it was in the past, and the level of the amount of people in poverty in the world is so much lower than it was 100, 200 years ago. And yet, with all of these advancements, it's not fully helping us. A recent Pew survey found that in America, 39%, so again, keep in mind all the good stuff happening, yay! 39% of Americans said that their level of anxiety, their current level of anxiety, was higher than the year before. Another 39% said it hadn't changed. Despite all the good things, nothing had changed. 18% of Americans, 40 million Americans, have identified as having some sort of anxiety disorder. This kind of thing is rampant in our world. And we're like the fish that doesn't know it's wet. We're so surrounded by it, we've become consumed by it, and we've become used to it. So what does this look like? Well, this is how I think about it. In my house, by the way, balloons are like the greatest thing in the world. I should clarify, we have children. Wouldn't that be fun if my wife and I, you want to do the balloon thing? Yeah, let's do the balloon thing. And what my girls love doing is, how long can we keep up? Can we keep it up? And they love doing that. And I think about that when I think about this, because this is how I think about my life. So this balloon right here might be my job, work. You know, you get the job, it's like, wow, there's some cool opportunities. And, oh, I got to do this, and oh, that client wants this, and oh, I got to make sure I fill in these expense reports, I'll answer this email, and oh, this kind of, oh, it's challenging, but I got to keep up with it. And it's not bad, like, pretty fun little thing. And then over here, I mentioned I have children. Oh, but being a dad, being a dad's cool, you know, it's fun, and oh, I got to do this for the girls and get to do this, and it's not always easy because you've got to discipline them, but oh, you know what, they're on the right track, and you just kind of keep that balloon up in the air and keep going. Again, I'm a husband, and so, you get married, and like, this is great, she's hot, and this is fun, and we're having a great time, and oh, well, no, we're arguing, but it's okay, we're pushing through, and everything's getting a little bit better. We've got all these balloons. We've got the work balloon and the parent balloon and the friendship balloon and maybe your hobbies, the things you love to do. I mentioned I wrote a couple weeks ago a book and doing the stuff with that, that's a fun little hobby. But what I've started to recognize in the last few weeks, again, I said this is ripped from my headlines. Let me just say here, about a month ago, I found out, we're going to be talking about anxiety. I thought, that'll be interesting. Okay, let's see how that goes. I'm not kidding. About 2 weeks ago, I was struck with the most incredible level of anxiety maybe I've ever experienced in my life. Everything caught up with me. And I was, I think I can safely say, consumed. And I'll also admit, I'm not through it. It ain't over. I'm still pushing through. But I just want you to know, I'm not talking from some theoretical space this morning. I'm talking from my own life. And this is what it looks like for me. And I've only put out 3 balloons. There's more I found from the other services. I can't do much with more than this. But, you know, you're doing your, what was this one, the job one? Okay, I got to do this for the client. And then I got to make sure my wife's happy and make sure she's over here and the kids are doing this. And we got to keep these balloons up. And well, obviously I'm no good at this. And it's just, thank you, yay. And it's just constantly going. And this balloon, oh, no, this balloon's going to go. Oh, no, I got to catch this. Okay, I got to do this assignment for this thing. And, oh, I can't forget. Oh, but then how is she feeling? And I want to make sure. And these relationships, I forgot about these relationships. And this person emailed me, I got to respond to, and it would just, it's this running around. And for me, it was taking a toll because it was exhausting and is exhausting. And I'm looking at each of these balloons and going, I have to keep them all up. This is what I'm doing. This is my life. This is how I have to keep going. Anybody relate to this? That you're just so scared to death that the balloon is going to drop. I had a realization a couple of weeks ago that helped me understand what mode I was in. And the mode was this. What's the least amount I have to do to keep someone from getting mad at me? What's the least amount I can do to keep my boss from getting mad at me? Or the least amount I can do to keep a client from getting mad at me because I got to focus on what's the least amount I can do to keep my wife from getting mad at me or my kids from going, you're a bad daddy or whatever it is. Just enough so I can spread myself all the way across all the balloons. This is modern times. These are our modern times. And it's not just with all of these things. There are industries and systems in our culture that are adding to this in infinite matters. Let me show you what, for a lot of us, is the most anxiety-inducing shape you'll see. It's this. And maybe it needs a little clarification, so let's clarify it a little further. Let's clarify it a little further. And let's add to it. And that's your Tuesday. And those numbers drive us. Anybody see the dot and get the twitch? I gotta deal with that. My inbox, let's be honest, my inbox and Outlook for work is my to-do list. If there's an unread email, I keep it unread because that's my to-do. That's my to-do list. And so I'm a zero-sum guy. Like at the end of the day, the emails are cleared out. They got to be cleared out or I'm going to have anxiety. And so I got to clear. Okay, another email. Okay, I got to deal with it. And zero. I'm not making this up. 2 weeks ago, some glitch happened in Outlook. Anybody ever had this? There's one unread email and it's not there. I filtered for unread. It's not there. And it's like this itch in the back of my head that I just can't scratch. I call IT. Get this thing off here, please. They can't figure it out, and I'm obsessing over it because it's the one. It's what my friend calls the ping. It's the ping. Ping, ping, ping. And these notifications are driving us. You sign up for a new app, a new service or something, and, you know, you get it on your phone, and what's the first question they ask you? It goes, hey, can we send you a notification? Like, they're your buddy. Hey, just can we keep in touch? I'd love to send you a notification. Like, well, sure. And then, boing, 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 boing. They don't stop. Companies are driven by this. I do a lot of work with clients in Silicon Valley. Let me tell you some tales out of school. They all want you in their apps and in their programs and in their organizations as much as possible. They want your brains so they can make the dough. They don't care about you. There's a Stanford professor guy named Nir Eyal. And Nir Eyal has made a bunch of money being a consultant to these big companies that we all use on a daily basis because he came up with this model of engagement. It's called the trigger model. And companies, billion-dollar companies, are based off of this hack into your brain, and it's this. It's a circle, and it starts with some sort of internal trigger that gets you to go to the app for the first time or the company or whatever, and then that trigger, you get triggered into that, and then you do some little action, and that action leads to a variable reward. Maybe by posting something, you get to see something that you didn't, someone else's, and then that variable reward, ooh, you get a little hit, and then you invest a little bit more, you put something else in, and then you want to check on how that happened, what happened from that, and so that trigger starts again, and trigger to action, variable reward to investment, to trigger to action, and you just get caught in the loop. They love it. They love it. And what this means for us is that there's this constant pull. There's a pull here. So not only are you juggling all this stuff, but there's the pull of social media, the pull of these companies, the pull of your... Anybody experience this? I experience this sometimes where, you know, watching a show is fun, except you have this lineup in your head. I have to watch the most recent Game of Cards or House of Thrones or whatever, and I got to watch the most... Like it's a job. And we're constantly drawn towards that. It's death by a thousand red dots. And it's killing us. So you got all these balloons, you got all of that, and then you've got news. Just let's be honest with ourselves. Wherever we fall in the political spectrum, all of the news outlets make their money off of anxiety. They want you going a little bit nuts about the headlines and about this person said this and, oh, this happened here. And it feeds into that thing that says, I am right, huh? And you're justified, but I'm also anxious because this could happen. They just make money off that. We're not getting on any objective news. They want your eyeballs. So they're giving you anything to make a little bit of anxiety so you come back. We are consumed with all of this, and it is destroying us as human beings. Let's look at the Bible. Romans 12:2 says this. Paul's writing to people 2,000 years ago, and it's true today. He says, hey, Jesus followers, don't conform. Don't almost like an impression. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that beginning is what I want to sit on. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. When I hear the word pattern, what I kind of hear is the idea of rhythm. Rhythm. The world, the culture we live in, is beating out a drum. Boom, 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 boom. And what we do, because we live in the culture, we tap our foot to it. Boom, 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 boom. It's just what we do. Boom, boom. And this is the pace of our life. Boom, boom. We do the things, and we take care of the thing, and we answer the text, and we do the thing, and we got to do this, and we got to do this. Boom, 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 boom. And the rhythm is getting faster, and it's getting faster and faster. And not only that, it's chaotic. It's not a regular rhythm. It's chaotic. It's off, and we are just tapping along, and we don't even know it. The increase is happening so slyly and so subtly, we just go along. And not only that, this happens to me. I don't know if this happens to you. You're looking around at the other people who seem to be keeping up, and you go, well, if they're keeping up, of course it's doable. I should be able to keep up. And that anxiety level rises and rises and rises, not knowing that we're both thinking the same thing. I can't keep this up. I can't keep this up either, but I'm going to keep doing it because he's doing it, and I'm going to keep doing it because you're doing it. And that's our culture. Yeah. And it's killing us. Telling the guy after the last service. It's like we're all smoking cigarettes, not realizing what it's doing to our lungs. We're just taking it all in. There has become a normative baseline of anxiety that's increasing year after year. Can we agree that our great-grandparents did not have the level of anxiety we live with today? Their big worries were diphtheria and the donkey dying. Now, granted, ours may not be as massive as diphtheria, but there's so many little ones that add up that we're consumed. We have become consumed. So what are the signs of this? How do you know you might be anxious? A lot of us don't know. We don't know. We might be going, oh, I'm doing all right. I'm just kind of keeping up. Everything's fine. But we don't recognize that there are things in our lives that are giving big, clear indicators that there is anxiety. I'll begin with this. Our body is communicating things to us. There's a book called The Body Keeps the Score, and it's about trauma that's happened in our past and how it does evidence itself in our bodies. And I think that title is true for daily anxiety. That when we take on too much and shuffling the balloons and trying to move from here to here to here, it's going to show up in our bodies. Our bodies are like a dashboard with green and red lights all across it. And it indicates to us red lights when things are going wrong. How's your sleep? Do you find yourself waking up at 3 a.m. for no good reason? Maybe that's your body going, hello, hello, there's something here. And we just go, well, I'll melatonin this thing, and then we'll just push through. No, no, no. It's your body going, hello, hello, there's something wrong here. Shortness of breath, panic attacks. More subtle things like lethargy. Why don't I have more energy? This section right here was nice and theoretical for me until, I'm not making this up, last night on the drive over to church to go preach on this last night. We have one car, so I Uber here sometimes, and I was in the back of the Uber sitting there, and I'm looking out the window, and I think, man, that's a weird snowflake, but it wasn't snowing. And I'm like, what is on this guy's window? And I'm looking, and I'm just seeing, like, star shapes. And then I'm like, well, heck, the snowing inside the car, too. And so I'm looking all around, and the snow starts to turn into this strip of kaleidoscope. I'm not making this up. And I'm a healthy dude, by the way, for the most part, aside from the hair loss. This kaleidoscope, and everywhere I look is this kaleidoscope thing. So I do what any 46-year-old man does. I called my mom. And I go, what's going on? And she's good at Googling. So she's Googling. And it's the kind of thing you're experiencing. Well, no one's ever experienced. This happens sometimes. And it's called kaleidoscopic vision. And they say it could be related to something called an ocular migraine. I had no headache, no nothing. But somehow the migraine evidences itself as these kaleidoscopes in your eyes. And so for 30 minutes on the drive over here, it's kaleidoscope time the whole way. And I'm a little freaked out. I mean, it's normally it might be fun, you know, kaleidoscopes. It was scary until I finally got here and it went away. And thankfully it's stayed gone since. What kind of moron would I have to be to go, well, that was just a silly look. Who knows? It's my body communicating something to me, going, hey, you have to slow down. The level of anxiety you're living at right now is not healthy for you. I mean, I'm telling you, I have been racked with depression. I can confess that here. Depression, confusion, what's going on, high heart rate, anxiety about all the things I'm trying to do, all the things I'm trying to do. And my body goes, listen. God made our bodies to give us indicators when things are wrong. We best listen. I best listen. Another sign is isolation. There's something in you when you're in these anxious seasons, when you're letting anxiety take you over, that you isolate. You're not intentional about it, but some of it's just busyness. Look, I'm so busy, I got so much stuff going on, I just don't have time to connect with people. But some of it is they can't relate to what I'm experiencing. And they talk to you about the balloons and the balloons and the balloons, and you're going, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. I get the balloons. I have to do all the balloons. I have to do the balloons. So come on, give me a break. No. I got to do my own. And you go, you don't know what I'm experiencing. And so you isolate. Obviously, you get consumed by thoughts. You go to bed at night, and instead of, can't wait to go to sleep, there's something in your brain that's going, all right, let's go through the checklist of all the stuff you didn't do today. And let's go through the checklist of all the stuff you're going to have to do tomorrow. And that's what consumes you. And God promises rest to those he loves. That doesn't really sound like, I don't think God's going, all right, let's do the checklist thing. And all you can do is think, well, what didn't I do and what do I have to do? This is a big one for me, I started recognizing, is that you see humans as a means to an end. When you're in anxietyville, everything is about, get out of my way, can you help me with this or can you not? And so people are a means to an end. I had a cuckoo week this week. I was up at 3:30 a.m. on Tuesday to fly to Chicago to do this audiobook thing, and then I flew from Chicago to San Francisco to teach an all-day class to a bunch of people who are really hard to work with, and then I flew from there to here, and then that night I preached last night, and I'm preaching. It was a nuts week. And midway through the week, I'm in Chicago, and I'm going to get some water at the fountain drink thing, and there's this old lady, very old lady, way too old to be working, let alone working in an airport, and she's cleaning this thing. And I'm looking at this lady thinking, get out of my way! Get out of my way! I need to get out of my way! And I'm like, whoa. I am looking at this woman as an obstacle, not as a human, because I'm so tied up with, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. And I had to force myself and go, wait a minute. So I made chit-chat. I talked to her. I was like, how are you today? Oh, I'm fine. And so we chatted for a moment. I was like, oh my gosh, I needed that moment about humanity. I don't know about you, but a big one for me is guilt. You're working on one balloon, working on one balloon, working on one balloon, and there's something in the back of your head that says, you really should be working on this other balloon. Oh, yeah, so you go to this other balloon, you really should be working on that balloon. Oh, yeah, I forgot. And no matter what balloon you're on, you're focused on being a husband, you're focused on being a good dad, you're focused on doing this work thing, you're focused on this hobby thing, something in you is going, no, not this, not this, not this, go to the other one, and you just don't stop. Does that resonate with anybody? That's me. And we lack the focus that we need. You lose self-control. You find that you have lower levels of self-control than you normally do. And the reason that is, scientists have discovered this, we all only have so much self-control cash in our wallets. And we spend the self-control on doing the things. And so when it comes to those pet sins or whatever that we might normally give in, that might normally not be giving into anymore, like a sudden flare up of anger, we do. And we're like, why did I do that? It's because you've spent all of your self-control on being disciplined and doing this that you didn't have it when old Scratch came knocking trying to draw you off sides and you gave in. And the last sign is this, that you tell yourself, look, I just need to get through this season. I get through this season and I'll be at peace. I just get through this season, I'll be at peace. And we all know that's not true. I found myself a couple weeks ago going, okay, if I can just get through Monday, all right, then I'll rely, everything, okay, I'll just get through Monday. What happened on Monday? I went, did I say Monday? What I meant was next Monday. And then I extended out. And then I actually extended it out again and found myself the other day going, look, okay, so it's the end of next week that things will be different. And we end up acting like the handyman who just changes fuses out that keep getting blown rather than looking at the wiring that's miswired causing the problem to begin with. No, this season will end. This season will end. We're like tax accountants who think, yeah, after April, everything will be fine. And for us, it's not. It just keeps going. I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about this great poem Yeats says in The Second Coming. He says, turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon can't hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold. That's my soul. That's my soul in the midst of all of this. So what can you do? I'll tell you a couple things that don't work. Keep going. It won't work. You'll pay the price at some point, whether in your body, in your relationships, or in your soul. You'll pay a price. And with that is just getting used to it. My gosh, how conformed to the pattern of this world are we when we just go, I think this is just how life is. I think when something in us says that and goes, either thinks it or says it and goes, look, this is just how life is. You know what I picture? I picture in this new Star Wars trailer, at the end, the big reveal is the Emperor laughing. And I think when we go, you know what, this is just how life is, I think the enemy goes, because he's got us. He's got us. What can you do? Well, first off, come back to Restoration the next few weeks. We're going to keep talking about anxiety. I'm not doling out pills at the end of this and going, this will take care of everything, so thanks for coming. Leave a tip. We're going to talk about this over the next 3 weeks. There's a lot to unpack here. Ron's going to talk for a couple weeks, and I'm going to come back at the end. There is a lot to unpack here. Please come back. And by the way, particularly come back next week. It's Restoration's 9-year birthday, and we are having a hullabaloo celebration. Free food, dinner, I mean, the works. It is going to be a big, fun thing. It's also baptism weekend. Please come back and celebrate with us. It's going to be a big time. One of the other things you can do, and maybe this is some of y'all today, is have an awareness of the patterns you've agreed to. Maybe for some of you, the light bulb's come on this morning and you've gone, I think I've been tapping my foot with the patterns of this world, not the patterns of Jesus, and it's doing me in. Awareness is always the first step to goodness and growth. Read your dashboard. What is your body communicating to you? And with that, listen to others. Do you live with a spouse who might be saying to you, hey, you might need to slow down a little. You need to back off on some things. Do you have good Jesus-following friends, community, who can go, no, you need to pull back. Please honor them and know this. I've said this 100 times before. I'll say it 101st time. There are some things God will never tell you personally. He'll just tell you through other people. And I believe God has put our spouses and the loved ones in our lives to communicate truths to us, even the truths we don't want to hear. And parenthetically, if you're that person on the other side, the friend, the spouse, and you see someone, a friend, a spouse who's in anxiety, can I challenge you to be brave? They may not want to hear it, but will you just lovingly communicate to them, hey, you need to slow down? My wife's done that for me, and it's been really helpful for me. Now, they may blow you off. I've probably blown her off a couple times. But that's between me and God. That's not between her and God. I challenge you to do that. Ask yourself why you do this. For me, the answer is frequently control. We live in a chaotic world. And to be honest, I don't always trust God to control things. And so I put my shoulder to the wheel and my nose to the grindstone and all my other body parts where they need to be so I can control things. And it's illusory. I can't control those things, but I want to control those things. You might need to drop a balloon. I don't mean, well, I guess I won't be a dad anymore. I just mean, or no more work. What I mean is those individual balloons that make up the bigger balloons. Maybe you've taken on something and you need to go, I need to not do that. Let me warn you, you know what you will say to yourself? I can't drop any of them. And that's not true. It's not true. There's something to be dropped. I write these little blog post things, and this last week I wrote one around anxiety, and I was like, I wrote about anxiety, and da-da-da, and posted it, and I realized I had a massive typo in it. Well, no, it wasn't massive. It was a quote mark that was wrong, and I went, I gotta go in, and when I get on the plane, I'll go in and fix that, and I felt like God going, no, you won't. I'm like, no, you don't get it. They're going to think I'm an idiot. And so I've got to, it'll only take a second. By the way, that's the mantra of the anxious. No, it'll only take a second. Look, it'll just take us, and then, well, there's these other problems I got to fix. And I had to discipline myself and go, I may look like an idiot, but who cares? I need to pull away some things and not do everything, not respond to every red dot. Sabbath. The Bible doesn't talk about Sabbath like, here's your medicine. The Bible talks about Sabbath, Shabbat, a day of rest, as a gift from God. It's a beautiful gift from God. About a year ago, my family and I tried to start practicing the Sabbath. 5 o'clock on Friday, Daddy stops responding to emails. I stop going into all the things I gotta do. And for 24 hours, we try to chill. We light a little candle, this candle we love. And Daddy speaks a blessing over everybody in the house. We have a good meal. And we try not to tech too hard. We tech down pretty good during that 24 hours. And we do a puzzle. And we hang as a family. And we do things that are life-giving to us. But I do not allow myself to feel drawn towards all the stuff I've got to do. Sleep, exercise, those are good things. And then the really good, solid spiritual things, like just worship a little. Tell God he is more important than all the stuff you have going. And listen to him. build out maybe 5 minutes a day to go, I'm just going to listen to what God's saying. I started doing that in my anxious season a couple weeks ago, and God would communicate little pictures to me, images of me. He communicated to me this thing of me being on the deck of a ship in the middle of the doldrums, not a bit of wind. And he started communicating to me how he wants to love me even in that moment, even in that depression. And last but not least, infuse yourself with truth. When you are living the balloon anxiety lifestyle, you lose track of what's really true. The lover of our souls communicating a very different rhythm than the world. Now, we're going to go through a quick thing where for a couple minutes, I'm going to read scripture over you. Because I don't necessarily trust you'll always go off and read scripture. So I'm going to make you do it now. And what I want you to do is to receive this. When I was in the height of mine, my buddy Jimmy said, hey, Psalm 139 in this new translation called the Passion Translation, read that over yourself every day. And I did, and it was so helpful to me. So I'm going to read this over you. And what I'd love you to do is I'd love you to just close your eyes. If you feel comfortable with that, I won't steal your wallet. Just close your eyes. And I'd also ask you to put your hands out. Like, just put your hands palm up as if you are receiving a gift from God. And I will read this over you. It's written from the perspective of David talking to God. Just hear it in the sense of your soul, the purest part of you, your spirit, talking to God. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You're so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. This is really important for some of y'all, by the way. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I run and hide from your face? I go to heaven, you're there. I go to the realm of the dead, you're there. If I fly on wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly in the radiant sunset, you are there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There is no difference between the two. You form my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. Thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Every single moment you're thinking of me, how precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. And when I awake each morning, you are still with me. God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test. And sift through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious, everlasting ways, the path that brings me back to you. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus over everybody in here, peace. Peace in whatever they're at, wherever they're going. I pray peace over them. In Jesus' name, amen.